Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Welcome to another Thursday afternoon here in the month of February. Heading actually about 6 weeks from spring. I want to say summer, but it is going to be spring, and hopefully all the snow around the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area will melt and go away and leave us alone for another year. But until then, we have a great show for you today, and we definitely would love for you to join us. And you are more than welcome to do that by dialing 347-989-1363. Press the number 1 on your phone if you would like to have a question you want to ask. We'll definitely get you on the air and ask a question to our guests. If you don't have a question, you just want to listen to the show, you can definitely do it that way as well. If you're a social person and you like social media, Facebook, Tough Talk Radio Network, or Lloyd S. Rosen are two sites that you can go to and check us out there. You can go to Bowler 900, that's B as in boy, O-W-L-E-R, and the number 900, at sbcglobal.net. You can send me a question there. I'll be more than happy to get your answers to you as quickly as possible. If you want to become a guest on the show, if you like what you hear on the show and you want to become a guest, you can go to lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com. You can tap on the register to be a guest and fill out the form, pick a date you want to be on, and we'll be more than happy to get you on the show. If you have a book that you're promoting, if you have a topic you want to get out to the listeners, be more than willing to get on the radio. We're more than willing to have you on. www.toughtalkradionetwork.com is our main network website. You can go check out all of our shows there, learn all about the hosts, the shows, the topics, and find out which ones you'd like to listen to. If you can't listen to the shows, but you are a member of iTunes, you can go to iTunes and download any of the shows from there, listen to them as much as you'd like, send questions to the hosts through their email addresses, and definitely get the answers that you are looking for. We are very fortunate today, I feel fortunate at least, and hopefully you as listeners out there will feel even more fortunate than I. I have two remarkable guests on today. They're people of God. They're people who have lived their life with him, through him, and for him. And one has gone in a way of writing to get his word out. The other one, although he's written a book, he has taken a different avenue, and that is by fostering children into his home and speaking about God to people for them to receive him and share him in their heart while they're living this life. And I am so excited about having these guests on. I'm not going to spend a whole lot more time talking. I'm going to go right to a commercial break. We'll be right back after this, and we'll bring our first guest on.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues here on this Thursday afternoon. Of course, the end of February, heading into March, and hopefully spring right around the corner. My first guest today is a young lady from the Washington, D.C. area, where she has lived and gotten her formal education. She has had a career as an administration, and used it as a means for getting a paycheck to pay her bills on a day-to-day basis. But that was not what her calling was. Her calling was to compose Christian poetry and short stories. And she's written two books. Her first one was An Invitation to My Heart, and her second one is Longing for Your Love While in the Wilderness. And she had a spiritual awakening to do this early in her life, and I am very excited to introduce Vanessa Landry. Vanessa, how are you today?
Hi, I'm fine, Lloyd.
Good. I'm just so excited to talk to you about this because I've written books, I write blogs. I'm not really a poetry person, so I'm interested to find out what inspired you to write poetry.
Well, I used to go to this church in Maryland. My mom lived in Maryland. I always lived in Virginia. So I used to go to a church in Maryland so I could be close to her. So I joined this church, and every time they had a program, I guess they saw this gift in me because I didn't know that it was there. And so they would always ask me to write a poem for a program they had coming up. So I'd, you know, seek the Lord for it and everything, and I'd get the poem and stand in front of the people, and I'd be shaking, you know. My hands would be shaking so bad, you know, I probably couldn't even read it. So I kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and I kept doing it, so I became more confident each time I did it. And to show that I was so confident, when my bishop passed away, they asked me to represent the church. So you know how grand that is when a clergy person like that passes away, you know, passes from all over, come. But they had me stand before everyone and represent the church on her behalf. So I was honored for them to feel that I was even capable of doing that. So that just brought out more confidence in me. And during a service, one time a pastor from Florida came, and he was a prophet, and he didn't even know I wrote poetry, and he said, you have a lot of gifts, and he said, you write poetry. God wants you to put those poems that you've been writing in a book, and that's going to be the beginning of a ministry. And I didn't do my first book, An Invitation to My Heart, until after my mother passed away. So that's when it really came out and started to flow. I was writing it the whole time that she was alive, but I didn't feel the need to publish it. I just kept putting them in envelopes. You know, when you write something, you just put it in an envelope and put it to the side. So I listened to the prophet, and I did it, and I started just doing ministry with it.
Let me ask this. An Invitation to My Heart. You said you started writing it before your mom passed away, but you decided to have it published after she passed away.
You know how you get so caught up in everyday life. You work, and you just put stuff on the back burner when it comes to doing stuff like that. So you're like, oh, I can do that another day, or you just never give it another thought. Well, when my mother passed away, that's when I really knew that I needed to do something other, because she had came to live with me right before she passed away, and she had gotten sick. She fell and broke her hip. So when she left, was like, what am I going to do now? I need something to occupy my mind. It's like when I went to work to rest. When I came home, it was work time because I had to take care of her. So she wasn't here anymore. So that's when I just birthed the book.
Now,
go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, were the poems that you wrote after she passed away, were they centered on her? Were they more about her and your relationship with her?
No, because as I said, I was writing them while she was still alive. And I used to share some of them with her. And she would say, that's something that a pastor should say. I don't think you should be writing that and sharing that with people. And I said, well, maybe pastors aren't saying what God wants them to know, and he gave it to me to say. So since I did the book, a lot of people say that's really kind of bold, some of the stuff that I say. I have controversial poems in there. One of them is called Tricky Christians. The pulpit isn't sacred anymore. So I talk about real things that I've observed in the church in my book, that book.
Okay. Now, the two books were birthed at different times. They were written in different years, different seasons. What season was each one written in?
The first one, An Invitation to My Heart, was really all the poems I had written while I was in the church in Maryland. And for the programs that they had me do throughout the years. So when you're putting stuff together, you never know. God has a plan for those things, so you're just doing it, but you don't see how it all comes together until you really do it. So once I put all that stuff together, all the poems that I had been writing all those years for the different programs and the things that I had been observing while in church, I didn't know that it all fit together. But really, An Invitation to My Heart, it really talks about, I'm letting the person, the reader, into my heart about the things that I've observed in church, but it also offers the reader the chance to invite God into their heart.
And that's important, to invite him in, because if you don't invite him in, you can't get started with what you need to do. Now, you also do a radio show like this. You host it yourself, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what is your radio show about?
It's a Gospel World Power Gospel Radio, WPGR.TV. I talk about, basically, my segment is the Vanessa Landry Show, Moments of Poetry. So I didn't even know how I was going to do this, but God gave it to me because I'd only been doing it like maybe 2 months now. So as I started doing it, it started falling in place. I start out with, you know, talking about subjects. He may give me subjects that relate to some of my poems in my book. So like yesterday, I did a lesson yesterday about atheism and agnosticism. And that was my discussion yesterday. And then I base my discussion with, I pick some poems out of my book. I at least do two poems after I have my session, my discussion about whatever the subject is. And then I choose the poems that I'm going to relate the lesson to.
So it all comes together.
Yeah, it all comes together. And everybody's been enjoying it, you know. Really, it's been rebuking the people in spiritual authority lately.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, the second book you wrote, Longing for Your Love, and the subtitle is Wild in the Wilderness?
Yes. 3 years ago, I lost my job. I was in the corporate world. And I had that job for 12 years. And one day I got my pink slip. So I didn't know what I was going to do. I was applying for jobs. No doors would open. Still no doors are open. So, you know, sometimes when God closes doors, it's a way for you to wake up to do the things that he really wants you to do. I heard a pastor say once, you don't have a job, it's because you're not doing what you're supposed to do in the kingdom, because you always have a job. And then I started thinking about that. And so as I was in the wilderness, I couldn't hear from God. I couldn't, he wouldn't answer me when I talked to him, or he wouldn't relate to me the way I was used to. So some mornings I would wake up, I would have a poem, you know, birthed, and I would run to the computer and hurry up and type it before I forget it. And then he might not speak to me again for another week or two. Then he might give me another one 2 weeks later. So that's how it went. So July of last year, that's when the wilderness book, Longing for Your Love While in the Wilderness, was birthed. And it's all the stuff that I talked to God about and experienced in the wilderness. So mostly my books are created so that I could help other people that go through the same things.
That's the message I've been talking about for a year and a half. That's why I wrote my book. That's why I speak on the radio. That's why I do what I do, because I want my stories to help other people. It's like I was talking to my producer before the show, and we both agree. Sometimes, you know, you have to get other people that you know have stories, get their stories out, because where your story, Vanessa, or my story may not help them, their story may help somebody. So everybody has a story, and everybody needs to get it out to tell so other people can be touched by them.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you do the radio show. How on the radio show, your poems, some of them are lighthearted, I suspect. Some of them are educational. They teach people things. How deep are they in terms of your subjects on your show? I would suspect could get pretty involved, pretty deep. But you try and correlate the show with the poems. So do you have some poems that are very eye-opening?
Yeah, I did one yesterday with the apostasy discussion. And my poem, I did one different yesterday. I did one from an atheist so they could see how dark his way of thinking was when he did his poem versus mine. And then I talked about how hell is real. If you don't get it together, this is where you're going to go. If you think like the atheist, this is where you're going to end up. So,
yeah. I'm with you on that 100% because I've been there. I've been on the dark side, so I know what you're talking about. Do you have a copy of a poem that you may want to share with us?
Yes, I could do one from out of my new book.
Sounds like a plan.
How about God Fussing at Me in My Lingo? While in the wilderness, you know how you question God about, where are you? Why is nothing happening for me? How come I can't hear from you? Nothing is changing in my life. No doors are opening. You know, all the things that run through your mind when you're in a dry spot in your life. So I wrote this just imagining what God would be saying to me if I could hear what he was saying when I was complaining. So this one is called God Fussing at Me in My Lingo. Why are you always tripping, asking where I am? I'm always here, like I told you before. Don't I wake you each and every day? Don't I make sure all your needs are met? I even gave my son for you. He died so that you could live after this life. And then I sent the comforter to strengthen and teach you my ways. All you have to do is encourage yourself with my precepts when the devil starts to infiltrate your mind. You know that's what he does. He's not trying to be gentle or kind. If you focus on all the things he says, then you won't remember anything I've promised. What's with you? I've never broken a promise. I've always been faithful in all concerning you. I'm there when you wake up and lay down. If you make your bed in hell, I'll be there too. So what in the devil is wrong with you? I think you need to pray a little longer and read my word too, because, baby, you got me all twisted. I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
That's good. I like that.
Basically, and all my poems end in scripture. So my scripture for this one is Job 5:17. Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore, despise not the discipline of the Almighty.
That's fascinating. And all of your poems, I suspect, have that sense of strength, that sense of open up your eyes, wake up, listen to me.
Yeah, get yourself together.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you. What are you talking about? Be quiet.
That's fascinating because that's what people have to be shown. They have to be shown that he is right there at their door or at their, you know, doorstep or whatever. Because, you know, I can sit here and tell you my story, but I'm not gonna, because this is for you to tell your story, not me. So, but I feel the same way. Now, you can get both books. They're still available.
Yes, so, you can get them at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, www.outskirtspress.com /longing for your love. That's where you get that book only. But the other two places, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, you can get both books.
And where can people get a hold of you personally? They wanted to speak to Vanessa. How can they get a hold of you?
They can email me at V as in Victor, _ Landry, Landry, 03, at Comcast.net.
And where do you want to go with this? I see you have a large array of places you can go with this. Where do you like to take your poetry and your radio hosting?
Oh, that's what I've been asking God to give me directions so that I can see where he wants me to go with it, because I'm just sitting there and I'm ministering because it's going all over the world as I'm on the radio, and I'm glad that that's happening. I said, this is the best job in the whole world, God. I'm sitting in one chair, and I'm talking to people all over the place. I don't have to pack no luggage. I don't have to get no plane ticket. I just love it. I feel a sermon coming on.
Doesn't it amaze you that not more people understand that if they do this kind of work, that they'll have peace and prosperity in their life instead of having to deal with where am I going to get my next dollar to feed my family?
Yeah, I don't even really get any money from doing this, but I figure when I start doing this for God, he's going to open up doors for me that's going to provide for me. I just have to keep walking until he opens up those doors. It's the timing. It's always the timing.
That's right, and you have to just wait because when he's ready, he'll do it. And
yeah, because like I said, I've only been doing this, 2 months, so that's not even enough time because his timing is not our timing.
So, okay, you said your second book, you said, came out last year, which would be 2014. Is that correct?
Yes, July of 2014.
When did your first book come out?
That one is 8 years, nine years old now. Yeah, that one is 9 years old.
Okay. So you've been writing his word, but you haven't been promoting it per se.
Well, yeah, I was promoting the first book, and then I got distracted. You know how we get distracted and we go backwards? We go back into the pagan ways. So I got distracted in a relationship, and I went back into my pagan ways. And then when I lost my job, that woke me up. So I'm on the right track now, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So I'm not going to get off track. I'm not going to think about going off track.
And well, you know what the right track is, so you know when you're not on the right track, you know how to get back on it and continue
on
it.
Yeah, you don't feel right when you're not on the right track. You feel incomplete.
Exactly. There's something missing, and
And then sometimes God allows those dry seasons so that you can come to your senses because he loves you. So he chastens those that he loves, so...
Oh yeah, I'm definitely aware that not every season and not every day of the season are going to be fruitful and multiply and open doors for you. You have to work at the doors that are open for you until he's ready to show you some other doors. So,
yeah, because if he showed us everything at one time, we would be overwhelmed because we just can't handle everything that he has in store for us.
I'm surprised that we have a long enough life to do everything that he wants us to do. There's so many things. So.
Yeah, because I'm like telling him, okay, God, I'm like 51 now, so you got to hurry up with stuff because I don't have much longer.
And you know what? Until you finish what he wants to give you, you ain't going anywhere.
I'll be here, yeah. I said, but I don't want to be bent over doing all this stuff. I want to be strong and courageous, you know. In my right mind, I don't want to have to be struggling to do it.
No, I personally don't think you'll be struggling to do it. I think he's going to give you all the strength you need, and you'll be fine and dandy. So, I want to thank you for coming on and spending some of your day with me talking about
your poetry. Thank you for having me.
And, you know, keep up the great work. I think that if you have poems like you shared with us today, you're going to be getting a lot of phone calls and a lot of people wanting to buy your books. So keep up the great work.
Oh, good. I didn't give them my phone number to contact me. That is 703-628-0342 if they want to contact me. Again, it's 703-628-0342.
And, again, you are in the D.C. area. So you're on the East Coast, so it's East Coast time. So I don't want anybody calling Vanessa at 7 o'clock in California or 8 o'clock in California when it's 11 o'clock in D.C. waking her up. So.
Oh, I had to ring her off.
You take care of that problem, don't you?
They can leave a message. Speak clearly
go.
So I can hear you.
There you go. Well, again, I appreciate it. You have a great rest of your day and a great weekend, and we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You take care, Vanessa.
Bye-bye.
That was Vanessa. Bye-bye. That was Vanessa Landry. She is an author of poetry. She's a strong Christian woman who writes all of her poetry based on Christianity. So we'll be right back with our second guest after this.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues for the second half hour. Our second guest today is a gentleman who I have been in communication with now for a little while. He was nice enough to send me a copy of his book, and I was able to get more than halfway through it and can't wait to sit down and finish reading the other half of it. And I will suggest during my introduction of him right now If you want a book to read about how people get over roadblocks in their lives and make a life of their own with their significant other and give their life to God, this is the book you need to get. So, like I was saying, God has rebuilt his life. He has been married to his bride for 22 years. His message basically is don't give up, because he didn't. We're going to get into a lot of that. His book is titled One Last Hurrah, and it is a 215-page book expressing his affection and love for God and what he was allowed to do in God's name. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in Mark Smith. Mark, how are you?
Good, Lloyd. How are you doing, brother?
Hey, if I was any better, I think I was sick. So
you're finer than a frog hair then. All right.
Yes,
good deal.
Sir.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lloyd. I drove through 2 hours of snow and am missing a meeting with Chuck, no kidding, with Chuck Norris and Mike Huckabee tonight. That was going to be tonight, to be with you right now. So, hey, I am glad to be here, brother.
Well, I appreciate you, and I apologize to Chuck and Mike.
Well, no, with all my concussions, I figured if I start talking, I may end up doing the wrong thing to the wrong one. I'm afraid if I was to tick Chuck off, he'd kick me around a little bit, and I can't stand no more concussions. So I tell you what, brother, it's probably good that I'm here with you. I'm a lot safer. One more concussion, and my wife would have to start putting Post-it notes in the bathroom so I'd know what to do with what. So anyway.
Let me ask you this. I don't have any concussions, and I still need Post-it notes, so I understand.
I get you, man. You know, with all the stuff, and I appreciate the great lead-in you have, but you know what, Bubba? I laugh at myself. Oh, Lord. Concussions, I've had 30, they figure. And, I still have problems remembering what's the left foot and the right foot, or the left sock and the right sock, or whatever. And the other day I went to put my pants on and almost smothered myself to death till I let the zipper down, realized I was putting them up upside down. And but other than that, man, I'm doing great. And I plan on having a lot of fun with you, giving a good message, because I'll tell you what, bro, there's a lot of us that need to laugh and need to come to peace with what's been going on in our lives. Do you know what I mean?
I get it 100%, Mark. I get it 100%. And that's why I'm glad to have you on, because when I first got information on you, I was taken aback in a very positive way to find out that you were a professional wrestler, because I've been following it since I was 10 years old. But more importantly, the message that you get out to people now, the fact that everybody needs God in their life to deal with their life here on earth. So I just definitely want to get that message out, and we can talk about the wrestling as a afterthought.
Sure, whatever. You know, one thing that, and it's right there with what you're talking about. We have so many problems as a society. We have so many problems in our homes. We have so many problems in our churches. You know, bro, there's no telling how much baggage people are carrying around. And the fact is when I realized I wasn't all so great, and I wrote this book, I wrote it in 30 days with brain damage. Now, get that. With brain damage, 30 days. Half the time, I forgot which room I was in the house when I was writing it, but I was able to write the book. And, but you know what, brother, unless we're able to make peace, to understand that, look, we don't have to put on a show for other people. All of us are screw-ups. I mean, that's just the truth, Lloyd. You've made more mistakes than you have, right? Than you have successes.
Absolutely.
I call myself a professional failure. I can laugh about it. You know, we take ourselves a little too serious. We all have troubles. We all have problems. If we stopped, you know, pretending every day was Halloween and putting on a mask, we may find out we could support each other and get along with each other a little bit better. Now, me saying that, what do you think?
No, I can't even add anything to what you're saying, because personally, my life is I'm a very strong sense of humor. I take life with a grain of salt, because I realize that life is too short, and I have been through hell and back myself. I don't have the injuries that you do, but I have suffered with depression, and I've tried to kill myself twice. So I have been on the other side. I've been to that dark side, and I'm not intending to go back to that dark side. And I'm doing what I'm doing to help, just like you are doing what you're doing with your foster care, to help kids realize that there's a better life than what society as a whole in today's society teaches us what's important. Like watching, like what? Tell me truly, what do the Kardashians have to do with Mark Smith and Lloyd Rosen? Nothing.
What do the Kardashians have to do? I'll tell you what. I got an answer to that. One's built on reputation. The others are built through self-understanding, making peace. You know, I think I kind of learned something in my life, Lloyd, and I love talking with you. I think we can learn a lot from the Kardashians and people that are in the spotlight, that we look at them and we wonder how in the world they really even got there. I think there are people in our lives, and this is maybe something that I hope many listeners can understand. There are people in our lives that we can learn from. We can rejoice about them being in our lives. Those are the people we often think about with all the fondness. But then there are those people that we tend to want to forget. And you know what? When my daddy died with cancer and I buried him with that shovel, I forgave every time I got a punch or a beating with a strap or anything else. I forgave it. I buried him with that shovel crying, because I knew I had a great last year with my daddy. And you know what? I'm not throwing rocks at him. I appreciate my daddy. Because, and I mean this in a very positive way, where we have people in our lives that teach us how to be, we also should appreciate the people in our lives that show us how not to be.
I couldn't say that much better myself, because there are two sides to the coin, and we have to learn from both sides of the coin.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fact. And when I wrote this book, and it's got a, you know, you saw the cover, it's got a wrestling ring on the cover with the light fading, because I was fading, and I am fading. But you know, I didn't write a book that's like these other wrestlers that write books that they're either talking about all the stories in the business or either doing a hatchet job on the business. There are crooks, but you know what? I mean, there are crooks. I hate to say it, but it's the truth, brother. There are crooks in ministry. Just there are crooks in the wrestling business. And, you know, I've worked with special forces, and I've had to deal with Washington. And unfortunately, I hate to break the news to the listeners, but we may have a crook or two in Washington. Oh, I couldn't hold that laugh. I tried to, Lloyd. But anyway. But, no, brother, I tell you what. The book is not a hatchet job on the wrestling business. It's about accepting responsibility. See, wrestling didn't do nothing to me. The stuff that happened to me, brother, I brought it on myself. I had somebody yesterday, I was meeting with someone from TBN. We're talking about some TV stuff. They're talking about, or there's some movie companies that are contacting us about doing a movie. When they read the book, they say, I almost feel like you shouldn't take so much responsibility. And I ask them, I say, why? Why not? You know, isn't it horrible when we live in such a society that we're scared as a society to take responsibility? The buck always has to land somewhere else. Isn't that a shame?
It is a shame. People are in strong denials.
I just love the fact when I wrote the book, it was liberating. I had a pretty famous fella on TV ask me. We was just talking a couple months ago. Book hadn't been out long at all. And he asked me, he says, why in the world would you write a book where you would really just basically confess everything? I told him, I said, brother, there has never been nothing more liberating than admitting you're a screw-up. And that's a fact. I am so liberated, Lloyd. I wish the church members that are listening to you today, I would hope that God gives me enough time before I lose my mind. And I'm saying that seriously. But I hope I get the chance. I hope people will contact you, that I'm able to go to churches, that I'm able to continue going to churches, hugging people's neck, and let's just letting them know that I love them. Because what a simple message. But, Bubba, we need that message in today's society. How do you feel about that?
Simpler is better in my book. And if getting out to the churches and getting out to the people and the masses and just giving them that much of a thought where you're hugging them and spending time with them and making them realize that they're not the only people that are walking the walk through life with the problems that they have, maybe they would slow down a little bit and enjoy life a little bit more because they realize that they're not alone. I mean, in reading your book, I read about how you had issues with your biological dad and how it was horrendous to come home every day and working with him at the gas station.
I was scared to death. And I bet you some listeners out there are, you know, if they reminisce thinking about their childhood, there's a few of them that probably remember those sweats you get when a parent comes home and you're wondering, what kind of mood are they going to be in?
Because
you mentioned the word hell a while ago, that mood's going to decide whether or not your night's a hell.
Yeah, I must say mine have not been the same as yours, but I do remember those nights when my mother would say, just wait till your dad gets home, and I would go to bed an hour before he got home thinking everything was going to be okay. What happened? He come home, he found out, he walked in the bedroom and actually woke me up out of my sleep to talk to me about it or reprimand me or do whatever he had to do. So I didn't escape from it. I was part of the situation. I mean, my father, he hit you physically.
I remember the last time I was punched by him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but see, I'm also of the ideology, Mark, that says that, like you said earlier, you learn from the bad as much as you learn from the good, and you learned how to treat your own three children that you have now, and they are better human beings because of what you went through.
Well, I'm totally open with my kids. I mean, that's, in fact, the last 2 days I was up in Nashville, and I was having to basically make the tour from radio station to radio station, or TV station, network to network, you know, setting up some things as far as when I would be on the road doing this and that. And I'm open with my kids about everything. They know the story. My oldest daughter was telling a TV movie producer yesterday how the first time she saw me walk into a wrestling ring, I'd been out of the business 18 years, probably 17 years. I did not know I had 5 vertebrae with bone spurs that were pinching my spinal cord. I thought my back was out of place. And I remembered that when I could get body slammed in the ring, it would line up my back. And she was talking yesterday. She started crying. And she's in college now. About the first time she saw me get body slammed in a ring, you know, she heard the loud thud. She saw my body recoil off the canvas. And it scared her so bad she ran away from where we were. The book is entitled One Last Hurrah because this is 2015. It's about 2007, 2008. For your listeners, most everything I've had has been broken. My right knee does not have a kneecap. Even just now, I moved it, and the knee totally separated, and I just manually put it back into place while we're talking. But I got a call from a little wrestling company in Texas, and they asked me, they said, would you come show some of our guys some old school stuff? And so I went in and showed them a few things. And then they asked me, would you run an angle with us for about 3 weeks where it ends up you having 5 minutes in the ring with a bad guy, a heel.
Mm-hmm.
And he will have ripped earlier your daughter's fake autograph book, but it wasn't. And we said, sure, we'll run it. This is my middle daughter. But the night came right where it was my one last hurrah in the ring. Just a couple hundred people, small. I wasn't in front of thousands anymore. And I'm back in the dressing room, and I'm crying. And the guys are coming up to me saying, Mark, you'll be okay because I'm taping my knees. I'm having them put rolls of tape around my back and then back braces on top of it, on top of the tape, and the same thing with my knees, just to try to keep me to where I could stand up and take the shock of being in the ring. When I beat the guy, I actually took my belt off and I whipped him, and they took him outside, and he ran outside the auditorium. The crowd went and grabbed him and brought him back. It was hilarious to see, and I was whipping him with a belt, and I went to pin him, and I looked up at the ref, and I said, you got to help me up. I can't get up. And the referee helped me up, and I looked at the crowd one last time, and I get very emotional. I'm sorry, Lloyd. I get very emotional talking about this.
Okay.
But I looked at the crowd, and I thought, years passed. I let wrestling destroy me. Wrestling wasn't bad to me. I let it destroy me. It was my fault. And this is the last time I'm ever going to be in front of a group of people, less in a ring. And the referee went to raise my hand in victory, and I told him to stop. And I looked down and pointed at my family, and I had my kids come up in the ring and my wife. And instead of me getting my hand raised in victory, my last hurrah in the ring, Lloyd, was I raised their hands in victory because I was walking out of there a Christian with a family that was the love of my life. We walked out of the arena arm in arm, and I was able to say goodbye in the right way. And that was my last hurrah in the ring.
I'm speechless. It's just like that's so incredible. That story itself is incredible. But the emotional tie that you had with your family and that you were able to do that is totally incredible. You know, that I can see why you're getting emotional about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's This is why I appreciate the opportunity to be on your program. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the listeners. Is because, yes, if there's ever been a man called, I can tell you, this broken down fella, I'm 5'11", I'm 300 pounds, to get jackets, so I'll just so you can kind of figure what I look like, I have a 46, 47-inch waist, but I have to wear a 56-inch suit coat to get it over my shoulders. So I'm built like a little firehouse, okay? And, but I'm a broken down man. And I look forward to the opportunity because, you know, even in our talk right now, Lloyd, we've laughed, and you got to admit, I'll make fun of myself.
Don't we all? I do it too.
Yeah. And at the same time, isn't it awesome to know that we're given opportunities to make peace? And I just wonder, when you think about the church, and the church today, in so many ways, has such a bad reputation because there's so much fighting. There sometimes a church is worse than a wrestling match. But you know what, Lloyd? I mean, when people bring in their hurts, and I'm talking about hurts from their childhood and everything, and they're holding them in. They haven't processed them. They haven't let them go at the altar. Then every relationship they have in the church, those hurts are affecting that relationship. 3 nights ago, I just wrote about 3 sentences, and I showed it to several people when I was at this conference. I just got back 2 hours ago. But I said, how would our churches act if we knew it was okay to take off the mask? And we allowed each other to process our hurts instead of feeling like we had to hide them to save face. And if there's a pastor listening today, I want to come to your church because I can tell you, we'll do a lot of laughing, but when I leave, and I've hugged every neck, and that's what I plan on doing, and I hug yours, there's going to have been people at the altar, not because of me, but because I will expose them to real peace that you find in Christ. I can't give the peace, but Christ can. And I hope I said that right. I hope I didn't come off being a pompous jerk. Did I, Lloyd?
I don't think you did. No, not at all. I think you put out there a message that tells people exactly what they need to know, that you are the messenger, and you're just giving the message out to them, and they need to open up their heart and allow Jesus into their heart to accept him and allow them as people to leave their issues at the altar and become one with Christ.
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate you taking it that way. I hope everybody else did. Now, I'm sorry. I enjoy you so much, and I know I've been talking a lot, and I've been probably not very courteous in saying, okay, if you've got some questions, there's no holds barred. I will answer anything. I have from reading the book, you know, Lloyd, I have nothing to hide.
No.
Is there anything that you have are there any questions that you have?
You know, Mark, I'm going to say this to my audience, and that is the fact that you were nice enough to send me some questions that you wanted to get out to the listeners, and you took care of answering all of them without me asking you a single question. So you've made my life kind of like non-existent for the last half hour, which is cool. I'm appreciative of that. I do have one question, and that is, where can people find Mark and Brenda Smith and get a hold of you, get a hold of the book, and, you know, learn more about you?
Sure. Now, The name of our book is One Last Hurrah. So our webpage is onelast, spelled out, of course, one last hurrah, H-U-R-R-A-H. You know, spell it the way it sounds. But it's one last hurrah web.com. Now, if you just Google Mark and Brenda Smith or Mark Smith, One Last Hurrah, I'll pop up all over the place. If you go to YouTube and type in Mark Smith, WCW, or NWA, you will see me in some trunks. And I'm going to tell you what, 20 years ago, I was a good-looking fella, Lloyd. I had to tell some of those female TV producers, don't stare at that picture too much with me body slamming Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I know I looked good. You don't have to tell me that. And I said, but now, you know, remember, you know. And I asked one of them, I said, and I kind of joked one of them. I said, you know, are you married? She said, yes. I said, well, put this picture away because I don't want your husband to get jealous that you met that good-looking guy right there. So anyway. But onelasthurrahweb.com. Also, we have a Facebook page, Mark and Brenda Smith Ministries. You'll see that. We've been blessed in a lot of ways. If you go to our you can contact. We have a publicist in Houston, Helen Cook, that has just been a blessing to us beyond belief. I mean, every time we correspond, it's I love you. And Lloyd, I will email you after this, telling you how much I've enjoyed it, and I will probably sign off with you saying love you, because I think we got to start loving everybody. We got to start showing some love to each other, brother.
Absolutely.
There's enough hate going on.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna make a very unusual plea. Bring your own Bible, baby, is an Atlanta-based a television studio that is, it's primarily African-American. And I was telling them, we were just talking, I said, you know, it's a shame. We see what's happening in America today. If you go to the doctor and you get your finger pricked, you bleed red. So do I. Also, when Jesus died and he bled, he didn't bleed just for the white man, not just for the African-American or black man or for the red man or anyone else.
Absolutely.
He died for all.
Absolutely.
And in a world, and I'm so sorry, we were talking, me and the owner of the station, we weeped together. We were hugging. We kissed each other on the cheek. I love this man to death. I think he's a wonderful man.
Right.
And but I'm going to start getting booked in quite a few African American churches because I want them to know that I don't care red, yellow, black, and white. We are precious in His sight, and we are all God's little children of the world.
Absolutely, Mark. I've got to say thank you very much for coming on. We're running very short of time.
I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay, you and I will be in touch. I will give you a call, and we will talk some more off the air.
That sounds great. Lloyd, your producer, y'all been a blessing, and I hope the audience understands. Guys, everything I know about Lloyd, he is the real deal, so please listen to him and know his heart's in the right place. Lloyd, thank you, brother, and I do love you, okay?
Thank you, Mark. Take care.
All right, brother. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Okay, we're running real short of time right now, so I'm just going to say take what Mark said to heed, and God bless you all. We'll see you next Thursday afternoon. Take care.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.